It's the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hey, this is Brian, a.k.a. Sir Brian from the Realms of Trinity and the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
Hey, this is Silver Adept, a.k.a. Aaron from the Realms of Trinity and the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
And you're listening to the 160th episode of the Neverwinter Nights Podcast, a podcast all about the Neverwinter Nights series of role-playing games. Well, tonight we have an interesting episode. We're going to go over some news, and it's been a little while since our last podcast. We've been trying to wrangle some guests on the show, but to no avail, with nobody's really returned any interest other than a couple passing emails. So we're going to do something a little bit different tonight. We're going to do the news, and then we're going to go into some general conversations about some of the projects going on that we've been talking about before, the new Neverwinter game that's coming out, and we'll take on that and what they released at the last game show that they were at. And we're also going to talk about just general Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 community stuff that, we've been surveying the crowd, so to speak, and we'd definitely like to get just a basic conversation about it and seeing what we're at and looking at the community as a whole, lately. So without further ado, Ben, we'll get into Neverwinter Nights 1 news.
Okay. In Neverwinter Nights 1 news, first by Rogue Knight 33, we have Sword Flight Chapter 2. After your adventures in the Kalim Desert, you have returned to Kalimport, ready to assume your new duties as one of the noble's personal guards. Your new employer has assured you that he expects more from you than routine guard duty, and will be assigning tasks appropriate for someone of your varied talents and experience. What's more, there is no knowing what may happen to you if you find yourself even peripheral involved in all the courtly intrigues of Kalifsham. There's little doubt that your time in Kalimport will be full of adventure. Next up is Custom Content Challenge 2012 for March. One of the neater items is Elven Stuff by CC Makers. He's created some Elven Twisted Spires by Amethyst Dragon, which he has included into his downloadable section. He's also included some various skins, buildings, lots of elvish styled shieldings from Lord of the Rings and other elvish mythology, various files which you can use to contain potions and what have you, various blades such as elvish bastard swords, war clubs, rapiers, different skins for bows and such, and different named swords. So it's definitely worth a look if you're looking into adding some more elvish criteria to your server.
And also, this is the same thing that we've been covering the last several months. It's the actual custom content challenge. Like, it's a compilation of different stuff that everybody put together for the month of March, all different providers. It's not a competition, but it's a bunch of people, the community gets together every month, and they put together themed material for a specific thing. So this is it, but this is definitely something you want to check out, though, because there's a lot of different custom content. It's really high class. The Amethyst Dragon always is putting top notch stuff out, and looking at the other stuff is look really good too for Neverwinter Nights 1. It's really awesome to see how people can keep adding to the Neverwinter Nights 1 platform.
Right. And just to give a brief call out to everybody who added sign to this patch, we have Sheshmu Hiru, The Spirited Lass, Tiberius Morgan, Cestius Day, and of course the Amethyst Dragon. Next up is the Monstrous Compendium, an all-standard toolset for Neverwinter Nights. Basically, this provides a full set of 575 creatures up for your modding capabilities and pleasure. No longer must you be satisfied with creating a mere copy of a creature you wish to change. Now you can update, manipulate, tweak, and otherwise modify the standard BioWare creature set as far as you want to. You can set up zombie traps, gargoyle scripts are intact, and update your favorite creatures however you want to. And that's basically it for Neverwinter Nights 1.
And in Neverwinter Nights 2, it was a good addition by RWS. Again, this is from Hellfire RWS. It's the Mounts beta. It's pretty great stuff. Actually, it's awesome stuff. Hellfire was able to create usable mounts for the Neverwinter Nights 2 game engine. Basically, it's using a special animation appearance and a use of a cloak slot for the horse. So, but it actually is like perfectly animated. It's not like a static horse or something. It actually looks perfect in animation and everything. The only thing right now, to call out, it is in beta. There are no combat animations or death animations with it just yet. But it does look perfect and work perfectly with creatures that, NPCs that have one-handed sword with shield, two-handed weapons, and spears. And I can personally say that, we've using this content for our upcoming release for Realms of Trinity, and it does look awesome. And with the spears, it is even better the way they hold the spears and everything. Did a great job. I sent an email to Hellfire to try to get them on the show, so hopefully we'll hear something back from them and get them on an upcoming episode of the podcast. And to move on, other news in Neverwinter Nights 2, we're going to talk about the Cormyrian Expanse project at the Realms of Trinity. But first, we have a little housekeeping for the podcast itself. We took over the podcast in about a year and a half ago now, and we've really, spent a lot of time, a lot of effort on this project and keeping it going. And, I really appreciate everybody's listening support and, a lot of the great feedback that we've gotten, especially when we went out to Columbus to interview Shane Hensley on the upcoming Neverwinter project pre Perfect World Entertainment, taking him over. But it was a great opportunity to get to go out there and all that. We just had a lot of great time. And also, over the past year and a half, we've really got to meet a lot of people in the community, a lot of the content creators and community players that just provide a lot of services, all kind of different stuff. And we're really, really humbled and, great that we were able to, be able to talk to everybody and get your productions out there for everybody to hear about it. But, something that I want to call out, ever since we've taken over, we really haven't gotten any financial support for the podcast. Normally, people make small donations and things like that, but we've actually gotten a total of $25 since we've taken it over. But we've, taken on a lot of expenses. We have to pay for web hosting and domains every 6 months. The domains are bi-yearly. We have 3 domains for the website and the hosting itself. So we're well underneath of, the fund-wise, we're well into the red because we haven't taken anything in really since we've taken over the podcast. So if you're listening to this and you like the podcast, like what we do, and like what we're doing for the community, please send us a couple bucks. Support us. So we have a link on our website on NeverwinterNightsPodcast.com or NWNPodcast.com to PayPal, and you could leave us a couple of dollars, or if you feel it's worth it, if you like what you're hearing. Otherwise, it is a great amount of effort for us to continually do these. I know we've been a little sparse in episodes the last couple of months, but that's more because of the community members not wanting to come on for interviews. So we're going to have to mix up the show format a little bit to where we do more general discussions and things like that. So, we enjoy doing it, but it does take a lot of time and a lot of effort to put out, as you can see by the website and the content and the quality of what we do offer and what we do put into this. We really take, we really care about what we're putting out there for the community. And, I speak for everybody on the podcast staff, it's great to be able to do that. But at the same time, it is impacting our abilities to, fully develop and, spend the time that we need to for our main project, which is the Realms of Trinity. And, we want to make sure that we're, servicing our players the best we can. And to give them the best possible experience. So if we're not able, if we're taking a hit financially to run the podcast, that's not a good thing. So right now our hosting is paid up until June. I've just made this most recent payment. So we're good until June. We're going to continue to run the podcast until June. But if things don't turn around as far as donations are concerned, we will terminate the podcast and the web and the content. But we will be hosting the actual podcast episodes at another location, in this way that you'll be able to go there, and we'll put redirects in place to, so that the previous interviews won't be lost. Anything else you'd like to add to that there, Benno?
Show me the money.
Yes, show us the money. But anyhow, I just want to put it out there for everybody who listens to the podcast and enjoys it. We don't like to, put that out there too much, because we're not about making money, but we do like to pay the bills. Moving on, got to talk about our Realms of Trinity 2 Cormyrian Expanse project that we just kicked off about 3 weeks ago. To get it started, Ben and I have been working on this project in the background, actually before we completed the second campaign for Realms of Trinity, and something that we've been wanting to do, we decided to do this instead of starting a whole new campaign due to the fact that the community has shrank so much and we're trying to keep interest up. And if we get involved in a huge, huge project like a third campaign, I believe it's big for everybody on the staff that, you know, we'd like to keep interest up for the podcast, I mean, for the project. So what we decided to do is to take a smaller approach as far as the grand scheme of things and really focus on a metropolitan experience, which is in Cormyr and in the capital city of Suzel and the surrounding regions. So without further ado, Ben, you can throw a couple cents behind some of the design stuff that you've came up with so far.
Yeah, essentially what we're doing is we're taking the setup for 3.5 Cormyr, which is basically this giant, powerful, ancient empire. And, you know, it's run by the noble families. The military is known as the Purple Dragons, after a dragon which was in the founding city of Suzail was defeated. The hero that ended that dragon's existence founded the city and thus began founding the empire. What we're doing is we're starting with that sort of a thought of this powerful ancient group and applying it to be modified that, you know, it's several hundred years later. So things have changed a little bit, not as drastically as one would expect, but again, it's an ancient empire. And basically we're working on applying it to the sort of ripple effect that occurred with the end of Ungoliath and the Realms of Trinity. And the idea is that they're a little less stable than they were. Things will be slightly more chaotic, but not to the point where Trinity, which was a city-state, you know, fighting with Cain, fighting with Vera, fighting with the various high-powered angry creatures around. It's going to be slightly more social, slightly more interactive. And a lot of what's going to happen will be based directly on the decisions you make. So if you decide you're going to be the evil guy and piss off every guard in town, sooner or later the guards may start reacting to your existence in the town. How far we go into that is, of course, something for development, but...
Yep. Yeah, it definitely, you know, just to back it up just a little bit, you know, Ben's totally right. I mean, we wanted to do with the Cormyrian Expanse is to, you know, we definitely want the catastrophic events that have taken place in the end of our second campaign, which we're not going to get into too much of that detail here. For the simple reason, most people listen to the podcast could give two craps, and B, the bottom line is that, you know, it was a major event, and we do want to, you know, it did shape Faerun, and it did shape the Sempian Coast. It's very far, you know, around the radius from Trinity itself. And, you know, there's been famines in Cormyr. There's been a lot of dissension amongst people and, you know, a lot of problems that came up, which would something as catastrophic as part of the landscape being ripped away from the plane, you know, from the prime material plane and causing the Sea of Fallen Stars to rush in and causing major, you know, chaotic weather, blights and famines and, you know, all kind of other stuff. You know, we want to make sure that that's incorporated into this, into the backdrop. You know, something from a development side, you know, this expansion is going to be huge, you know, by any other comparisons. If you look at our previous rollouts, I mean, they were big and they were, you know, massive, but this is beyond that because, you know, we've never really focused. I mean, we touched upon, you know, city states and, you know, smaller regions and smaller powers. But nothing is so large as Cormyr. It's on the lines of Baldur's Gate or, for that matter, Neverwinter itself. I mean, we're planning on developing something larger than Neverwinter City, basically. And so far, we've developed a ton of, you know, great-looking boards that are, you know, very in-depth and detailed, but also huge. And to keep in the line of tradition, ROT, you know, we typically develop big, but we also develop detailed, and to really give you the immersive effect. This project will also incorporate our dynamic placeable system that I just installed about 2-3 months ago on the Realms of Trinity, where you'll see changes to the world. I mean, the areas themselves over small amounts of time, you know, maybe every 8 hours or so, you'll see different stuff. You'll see carts changing, you know, they're disappearing, appearing. You'll see different NPCs about. Some will be important to you, some will not be important to you. You'll see all kind of stuff, ships coming and going in the port, so they'll always be different. You know, theoretically, it'll almost always be different, and it will totally give the effect or the feeling that this is a true and alive environment, not just, okay, here we go, here's some boards we developed, and, you know, we scripted the quest like if you were playing the original campaign. I mean, this stuff is constantly changing through code, and we don't have to make alternate versions of the boards to accommodate. This is something that's just going to happen every so many hours. So it's really something that's going to be awesome to really take advantage of, because this is the first piece of development that we're doing that really is meant to be used by this system. I mean, we've retrofitted areas in the ROT 1 and 2 content to use this to give them life, like Trinity Town Center and some other of the main areas that you'll see a lot, just to, so that they always look fresh, and, you know, there's a lot of cool stuff that changes around. You don't really know what to expect to see from one day to the next. But this is actually going to be developed around it partially, so to the point where it really does give the effect of a live city. So that's definitely something to look at on that front. And as far as the side quest, Ben, you want to talk about this a little bit, some of the stuff that you've kind of written up already? And
yeah, there's various side quests that are going to be used to foster RP and to make the overall experience more enjoyable. And those are going to be tailored so that if you take an evil path, you get treated thusly, you interact with characters that are slightly more shady. If you take a good path, obviously you're going to, you know, the locals will like you better, things of that nature. One of the more exciting side quests we're looking into is actually creating a quest to go to the homes of various dragons, chromatic, metallic, and actually a city where dragon can themselves live. And basically this allows you to, again, it's decision-based, so your alignment will take into effect which dragons get along with you, which dragons try and make deals with you, and which dragons ultimately will try and kill you. But it's going to be a big quest. Last count we had was well over 5 maps just to get to the point where you meet your first dragon. So it's definitely going to be a nice long quest where you get to, you know, sort of see a bit of what the actual characters behind what's going on happen. So it's going to be a bit less of a run-in / kill things, run out with your new loot, and a bit more, oh, this is what's going on. So it's something that definitely will add a bit of excitement. It'll be fun for the hack and slashers, it'll be fun for the RPers, and it's just something that we think will really help spice things up and, you know, as I said, add a new dimension to things, because obviously in Neverwhere Nights and D&D, you know, humans, elves are not the only species. You know, it's not just the two-legged species out there that can think and talk and react. So this sort of goes off of that concept.
Yes, and it'll definitely be, you know, we're looking at right now, and we are, in because of the ROT and TRS Rise of Sauron merger, PW Alliance, you know, we're really are able to do more than, you know, in a lot less amount of time, because, you know, us both taking advantage of each other's resources, development resources, areas, and different things like that to fit. You know, we're developing our, what we call our signature areas we develop ourselves, which is the Cormerian area and the city and, you know, all the different wards and things like that. But also there's going to be a ton of detailed depth into the place itself, with tons of places to go, people to talk to. And right now what we're looking at is probably around maybe 70 areas to start with, you know, not count with about 20 of our own, about, you know, 40 to 50 from Witch King from the Rise of Sauron, you know, and his help. So we're definitely going to be, one, you know, our component of the PW Alliance, like, as he is rolling out his new version of the module with our stuff. And, you know, so it's really going to benefit the players hugely in the Neverwinter Nights 2 community from both aspects. You know, from, if you like Lord of the Rings background, you'll be able to take full advantage of the RIT systems and our content. But at the same time, with the Lord of the Rings, based world, and in this vice versa. I mean, if you like some of the things that they have developed at the Rise of Sauron, and especially for role playing and to really bring a rich role playing environment, because, you know, the Cormyrian Expanse is going to be a very active role playing center. You know, it's going to be, yeah, sure, there's going to be action. However, it's not going to be anywhere near the focus as it has been in the past. Most of what you're going to be experiencing is going to be more story based. I mean, everything's been story based, but it's going to be richer story based, where you're going to be making lots of more decisions yourself and as a party, as well as taking into account some of your previous decisions that you may or may not have made in the previous two campaigns of Realms of Trinity. So you'll be able to really, this is really the ending point for the our persistent world. I mean, we're looking at this to close out our existence on the Neverwinter Nights 2 scene. Is something that will be out there for a while. It's not like it will close tomorrow. I'm just meaning that, you know, looking at, we're putting something out there that will allow you to culminate and compile all of your previous experiences on our, you know, both massive campaigns that we've already have, but now bringing them home into the ultimate, what the ultimate purpose of all the first two campaigns was, and which we're not going to discuss here because that's a part of the spoiler and what you're going to discover as playing the game. But, you know, at the same time, you'll see what's available to you with all the different things that we're going to provide and all the choices that we're going to provide. So I'm really excited to be able to bring it. A lot of players that we've talked to are uberly excited about it. And Ben and I are really going to be spending a lot of time hammering this stuff out. Plus, we have some other resources working on the project. I mentioned Zeus from Z&K Studios, which has already provided us with a lot of great custom content. You know, the Cormyrian garb for the guards. We have banners, and we have all kind of other stuff that they put together. Zeus has put together for us, and it's really going to bring this to a real quick head. So, and also, we just released on YouTube a trailer to this, and we'll have a link to that video on our website as well. And then, you know, another piece of news, you know, this is a pretty good, interesting topic too. Just recently, Neverwinter won PAX's Best of Show for 2012. And they were interviewed by MMORG, which was a pretty good interview, and they went into a lot of stuff behind Neverwinter. Now it's getting closer to being done. It's still an alpha, and I mean, there's still plenty of work to be done, I'm sure, on it. But there's a lot of video, like gameplay video, where one of the designers is playing a rogue and going through and, you know, checking it out. And, you know, a lot more information that we previously had. Well, especially after they switched directions a little bit on the project to a full-out MMO versus, you know, what Shane was talking about during our last interview with him. So, I mean, I think that some of the interesting topics is they were talking about maximum party sizes. You can have up to 5 players in a party. Average raids, going by directly what they're going off of. I mean, you're looking at around, you know, like more of a action based grind. It looks a little bit grindy. I mean, with a lot of mobs, which is cool. It's great for action if you're, you know, a lot of fun. It's really good like that. A lot different than Neverwinter Nights 2 or 1 for that matter in the combat system, although it looks somewhat similar. The action's very much reminiscent of some of the old, like, X-Men action games for the Sony PlayStation or something, like the style of action that it is. So, I mean, so it depends on what kind of, you know, what you're looking for. But the graphics do look good. I would say they're, in some ways, better than Neverwinter Nights 2, but in other ways, you know, I think they're about the same, frankly, as Neverwinter Nights 2. If you really had it revved up, your graphics, you know, card revved up and had all your settings turned high. It's pretty similar, but some of the 3D motion is actually smoother than anything I've ever seen on Neverwinter Nights 1 or 2. So there's some really good graphical enhancements that have been done to the game as well.
Also, as Brian mentioned, as you go through and look at some of these things, the fighting graphics are definitely much better than Winter Night 1 or 2. Your character from the sneak preview they showed at PAX, you know, your character no longer does the same two or three attack moves. It's based on where you are, where your enemy is, what angles you're using when you come towards them, things of that nature. Something to note for the hardcore D&D, this is in 4th edition rule set, which has been tweaked to be catered towards MMO. So, you know, magic will be lessened. Lots of areas that used to be safe are now destroyed, things of that nature. They have changed this game so that it is now going to be strictly MMO-based games instead of a series of instances that you and your friends can do. So they are definitely headed down the MMO styling and the MMO setup. Let's see, what else do we have? Oh, and they did mention PvP will be coming at some point. So I can definitely picture sooner or later guilds forming, people running around. Only 3 classes have been officially announced still, Fighter, Thief, and Wizard. There will be branches to these classes. There's also races of human, elf, half-elf, drow, dwarf, tiefling, and they say that there are more to come. They're definitely going down the talent tree style thing. So for an alpha-based game right now, it's looking very smooth and very set up. So
yeah, it'll definitely be worth
a look to check it out. The Foundry is still being created and developed more and more, which should make it so, you know, anybody with an idea has a good chance of making a good server. And it also means that those who are currently making great servers will be able to do very impressive things, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, something that we talked about before with Shane when we interviewed with him was the fact that, you know, we would definitely like to have, you know, build out our own campaign on their system using the new Neverwinter platform. So we'll definitely be, you know, investing some time once the open beta takes place. And, you know, hopefully we can get a copy of that and, you know, be able to get involved at some point so that, you know, we can start taking a look at what we can do as developers ourselves and even get information out to everybody who listens to the podcast who might be a Neverwinter Nights 1 or 2 developer and would like to see maybe if they want to take advantage of this new engine. And also, and there's one other good thing you got to look at, too. I mean, yeah, it sucks that you're not going to get custom content of your own in there. Like, you're not going to be able to do, like, what we do with Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2, you know, for obvious legal reasons, you know, get copyrighted material, inappropriate material, things like that. Because, you know, one of the things that gives flavor is our ability to create those types of systems. And we're not going to be able to change the core game itself. I mean, so if there's like something we don't like the way it works as a community, we're not going to be able to change it. Now, we might be able to, you know, give those ideas to their forums or developers, and they might work in some options that, you know, you could customly tailor your campaign to. You know, that's available. But on the plus side, from a, you know, developer standpoint, you have to look at some of the facts that you're not going to have to host your own hardware, you know, your bandwidth and all that good stuff, because this stuff is uploaded to their systems and it actually runs on their system, so that you're not going to have to do that. I mean, at least that's what Shane had told us in last June. So, you know, if that holds true with the Foundry and how it's going to work, I think that that's going to be, you know, good from that aspect, because you're not going to have to worry about, as a game host, having to go through all the stuff that we had as Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 to maintain your own hardware upgrades and, you know, and all that good stuff. So certainly, it certainly has great benefits and, you know, some drawbacks, of course, but as a product matures and gets more time put into it, I'm sure there'll be new features added and or brought on down the road if it's successful. And, you know, you'll see constant evolutions to the game itself. So I think that that's very promising. And, you know, hopefully that a lot of advertising goes into this so that it really is reminiscent of what has been done for World of Warcraft. You know, how you can pretty much go anywhere, anyway, and see it somewhere. So, I mean, I really hope that the advertising is matching the quality of product that they're putting out there, because so far it looks, you know, high quality, and, you know, everything looks really cool, and it's nice to see something new and, you know, something that, you know, has a lot of time and eyes put in on it. So definitely want to check it out. And it's also being developed with a lot of care, too, especially with how close they've been working with Cryptic's been working with Wizards of the Coast and on the official Forgotten Realms, Neverwinter Nights plot line, Neverwinter plot line. So there's a lot of cool stuff there, especially with the novel from Ari Salvatore, Gothel Grimm, and some of the other things that have came out since then. So definitely looking good in those respects. Yeah. So we have, like I said, there's definitely some cool stuff coming. Now, as far as Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 is concerned, we're seeing a continual erosion of player base still. Over the last, several months, where more players seem to be dropping off from the platform. That obviously could be, from a lot of different reasons. We've had a lot of people talk about some of the upcoming games that have been released, or are going to be released, and some that already have been released, like Diablo 3 and some other games. So, those are always going to be impacting what the player base is. So if you're running a server, if you're, writing modules and stuff like that, yeah, there's going to be a little less action lately. As of late, but I don't think that is indicative of the community collapsing or anything like that. I've got a lot of personal emails and communications and posts on our forums for ROT that people are just busy with stuff. People finish school and everything, so if you're out there running a server or whatever, I wouldn't be too concerned right now, because they'll come back and take the time where you have a little less heat in the kitchen to, do some development projects and things like that, while you have less server administration to deal with. Less players, you have less server administration. It's just simple as that. So take advantage of the time that you have to do some, house cleaning or some different projects you never quite got around to doing. It'll improve your world or give other features that you had on a table that you just never had time to get around to, because as in most cases, we're all doing this on the side or as a part-time job type of thing. So,
I agree with you. And the thing that I would definitely keep in mind is, as most people have been on these servers, player side even, there's always an ebb and flow to these things. So, there's no reason to go too nuts. It's something you keep aware of, but, if there were a new game tomorrow, it'd be something else. If there's this game today, everybody enjoys it, so just do what you've keep on doing. And, as Brian said, if there's something you've had on the back burner, now may be a good time to do it.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, a lot of cool stuff going on. We're trying to stay on top of a lot of the community content and working on different things. And like I said, Witch King's working on his re-release of his Persistent World here. His current one is still hasn't went down or anything. It's just he's working on this Dylan very feverishly over the last several months, because he's pretty much the only developer at TRS right now, and him and his wife, and so they're working really hard to get their new version coming out pretty soon, which looks amazing. Some of the stuff that he's put together, and it's definitely worth checking out. Stuff that people are making. Plus, there are very active persistent worlds out there. That typically tend to be the more role playing only, very slow grinding ones, because it's mostly people who get on to actually just do role-playing online, which is great. And those servers seem to keep a little bit more of the player base, because they keep themselves entertained more than development. Development-based persistent worlds, or when you're developing modules and things like that, you run into a situation where unless you're doing it full-time, you can never develop enough content fast enough to, strictly hold the masses over. You have to come up with other ways of doing it. The only reason we've gotten as lucky as we've had is we did develop a lot of content, but we also developed content that, could always change and configure itself without our intervention, so that keeps things fresh as possible. But even that, at some point, comes to a point where, how many times can you run through something, the same thing? Even 300, 400 areas, it's just like playing the original campaign as many times. So unless you have an actual RP base or just a really in-depth community where people are keeping themselves, quote, busy or entertained amongst themselves, or active DM staff that's running a lot of stuff, which is hard to do. We're constantly struggling with the participation, even on our server, keeping people interested in, just life and everything else. And it's not obviously not a paid job or something, so it's really hard to get people to commit their own time for no compensation. So that's always a that's always another way of looking at it too. So the community, you know, before was driven, I think, primarily by a lot of interested and committed people, but I think that they were interested and committed mostly because of the number of players and being able to really have a lot of fun and have diverse groups. But when those player numbers start dwindling, you know, for whatever reason, new games, weather changes, school, or whatever, holidays, you know, but if it's beyond that where the community actually starts dropping off, then you have those people seem to be shying away from the platform and not coming back. You know, they just quit. And it's understandable. I mean, I thought it myself from our perspective. I've even posed the question myself on our own site, you know, well, what do you want? I mean, if you're not going to be dedicated playing, you know, hey, that's fine. You know, but great. Thanks for all the years of good times. You know, 4 years is a long time to be up. But, you know, if you're not going to be committed to play, I'm not going to be committed to, you know, our own expense to keep the server up, spending, you know, 30 to 50 hours a week in development or free, quote, free time, you know, making these types of, you know, professional quality development happening. And I'm not the only one. I mean, there's plenty of other persistent worlds out there in the Neverwinter Nights 2 and 1 platform who do the exact same thing. You know, put professional quality stuff out there, put compelling content, you know, keep the game new, keep the game fresh. They develop some awesome systems. It goes back to what me and Ben were talking about earlier about, you know, having the opportunity to interview as many people as we have. You know, we get to see the fact that how the amount of ingenuity that goes into the development of those persistent worlds and that content. So there's a lot there. So that's pretty much all we had as far as the podcast goes. We're going to continue to try to get some guests on the show coming up in the future, and you know, and also have any other show announcements and notes. Talking to Ty Bay about a couple things. I'm going to try to get. He's going to come back on the show one episode or two, and get the Amethyst Dragon. We're going to get back to for a couple of his updates. So the ridiculous amount of content he keeps cranking out for the community and his persistent world of Anaya. So definitely. Stay tuned for some of these upcoming episodes once we get them scheduled and whatnot. Well, Ben, you got any final thoughts?
No, all I was going to say is get in game and level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of the Realms of Trinity, who are solely responsible for its contents.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2012.